Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
We are now recording.
Uh-oh.
Play my music. Hello and welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, but not any old Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. It is the start of the brand new World Cup Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself all the World Cup too seriously. But actually, that's completely incorrect. I'm taking both things, myself included, extremely seriously. So next to me, it's faithful, trusty old Phil.
Hello, Jonathan.
And down the line, in the shipping container, presumably in Exeter?
Yes, the shipping container's down by Quayside in Exeter.
It's Tim Cocker.
My shipping container has been plonked outside the hotel that the rugby team are staying in ahead of their game in the Premiership Cup against Exeter.
I tell you what, Premiership Cup this weekend is going to be exciting. Have you seen the Sale Sharks team?
Looks pretty tiny, doesn't it?
Well, they're just using it as a first-team warm-up fixture, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. I've just watched 10 minutes of Harlequins versus Bristol, which I'm quite enjoying, actually.
Anything happening in it?
Well, Bristol look much weaker than Harlequins. Harlequins are up by 10 points, but Bristol should have got a try. So it's just nice to see Premiership Rugby back, even though it's not Premiership Rugby.
Yes, and stop. We've got the biggest show on earth.
Yes.
We've been waiting for 4 years, and it's started.
What, are you that excited about the Premiership Cup? That is astounding. But no, there was something else that happened today, of course.
Just a little thing.
Just a little thing.
A little thing at 11:45 this morning.
Do you know what? You know, it simultaneously exceeded my expectations and also disappointed me a bit.
Why were you disappointed?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just a little bit spoiled because I watch a lot of rugby. And you know me, I like a big team. That's the thing that I like, a real big team.
As in physically big.
Physically big team. I like to watch, like, I'm the kind of guy that if it was still allowed, I'd limp down to the Colosseum and watch bears rip apart gladiators. That's what I would like to do. And it just felt, I don't know, for an opening game, I appreciate that Japan are the hosts and they couldn't really go up against one of the big teams because that wouldn't be great. And instead we got this. And it was much more competitive than I expected it to be.
It was more competitive than I was expecting. I mean, not Spain. They scored first.
Yep.
They did remarkably well in the first half. They were almost leading at half time.
Yeah.
But they you did feel that it was always going one way. And the Russian team, I mean, some of them are enormous.
They are big boys.
Some seriously, seriously physical boys. That number seven, Gadzev, was class. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you kind of...
They're not nearly as bad as I was expecting to be.
No, the defence was much better. The bit that did leave a little bit to be desired was their conditioning.
Yeah.
They've had too much steroids, not enough EPO.
Exactly what I was thinking.
They're getting their dosage not quite right on those two.
Right, you mentioned Gadzev, but the other person on the pitch that I love, Himeno, how good is he? The number eight for Japan.
Well, he's a second choice eight, right?
Well, you got Maki, haven't Maffey. You? Maffey, sorry.
Maffey. Now, was that the guy that was kicked out of Bath Rugby for skipping the queue in the physio line?
He also had a few allegations
on
his time in Australia, but let's not go into them
now.
No,
let's go into it.
No.
So he's injured.
The one thing you missed was the opening ceremony. Did either of you see any of that?
So I was working, well, all day, and I managed to watch most of the game while I was crunching some numbers and having my lunch. I had to miss the opening ceremony, sadly.
So is Manchester Airport going to get double the amount of peers that it ordered just because you were eating your lunch and watching rugby and not concentrating?
When I was crunching the numbers, yeah. Yeah. There might be some that are way too high or way too low. I guess I'll find out next week.
And only passenger safety will suffer.
Scott Smith tweeted to us at Rugby Podcast, and he said it was weird waiting for a rugby game by having a coffee and watching Judge Rinder.
Who's Judge Rinder?
It's an ITV daytime show. Like, our effort at Judge Judy.
Yeah, that's actually quite a good point, actually, because if you are looking forward to the rugby, the accompanying programming around the rugby is exactly the same as it would be at that time of day normally.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, Jeremy Kyle or whatnot will finish, and then you're straight into the world-class sporting event.
Yes.
Talking of opening ceremonies, I thought I might just play this just for a bit of nostalgia.
Oh, Paloma.
Paloma. Why?
Paloma.
Here's a question. Why did they decide to do it properly this year?
So, Tim, did you get to see this?
Yeah, no, I saw bits of it. Yeah, I did. Japan clearly haven't got the memo about what's meant to happen at sporting opening ceremonies anymore, because they obviously didn't get the memo that the music's meant to be way too loud.
Yep.
That the person on the microphone's voice is meant to be inaudible from being so screechy and loud.
Yep.
You can actually hear stuff.
Yeah, I always think that the microphone in the open ceremony should sound a little bit like the announcements in King's Cross Station.
Yeah, with reverb and echo right round.
Perfect.
Yeah, and they clearly also didn't get the memo that you're meant to hate England, because England got a nice round of applause and a cheer when they announced them as a team.
Did they?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, come on. This is not playing. This is not rugby. Well, get with it. You're meant to hate England.
Yeah, you're not going to become a tier one nation doing that kind of carry on.
Exactly. And there was a lovely moment. I don't know whether you've seen it, but you haven't seen it, but one moment from the opening ceremony that I really liked. Richie McCaw brought the Webb Ellis trophy on and delivered it to Japan. And he didn't arrive by helicopter. That was disappointing. But as we know, he flies them. But he did this lovely little look back. He put the trophy down on the stand. He stood and looked at it for a second. And then as he walked off, he did this stop and looked back at it longingly.
Oh.
It was actually a really lovely moment, genuinely.
I want to see that. Because in my head, I've got like a cheesy 80s movie where the father leaves his son for the last time, like last time before he goes to war. And he's walking away. And just looks back.
In my head, I've got that famous picture of the Native American man with a tear rolling down his cheek, overlooking his lands. That's what I've got in my mind.
I thought they did a good job. I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, all this week the build-up has been absolutely tremendous, to be fair. Yeah. That Welsh open training session looked amazing. There's a few bits and pieces with Joe Marlon manhandling kids. Looks amazing.
Yeah, another Rising Suns episode. Yeah. Looked amazing. Johnny May doing archery.
Amazing.
Looked dangerous.
The other one...
The O2 advert.
The O2 advert. Oh.
And I tell you, the other one, did you see... friend of the podcast, Khaleesi, going to training.
Oh, no. I've not... Oh, what, was that when he was running through the crowd of kids?
Yeah.
I have seen that. That was good.
So, yeah, so far the build-up's been great. So, anyway, this game. Let's talk about the game.
Yes.
Just Japan. A very, 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 very quick reaction to the big budget RFU O2 promo of Owen Farrell, Johnny May.
No.
Maritoji getting into I don't know what the armour would be, but the samurai get-up.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So there are certain scenes in that promo video, particularly when they're running through the field. They literally look like the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, like, there's no other way to put this. I've tweeted a picture of it, just saying, a vile vision of Trump's America. I don't know. It's just so misguided. The video is so misguided. It's just not of this time, is it?
It's very well produced. I actually, JB, it's only now you've explained what you were referring to that I actually understand that gag. I didn't get that.
You're exactly right, Tim, that the production values are unbelievable. It is like a Hollywood movie.
I'd have thought the RFU had budget issues.
Exactly.
This is O2. They've got loads of money. But then I'm just so confused. I don't know what to think. Who are they supposed to be?
Yeah, it makes...
Where are they supposed to be?
What are they doing?
What time is this supposed to be?
Way, don't these Japanese warriors then put on the armor, the ablative plating and whatever it is, and march across the fields of corn with swords in hand? Presumably they're off to attack a village.
Well, it looks like the first part looks like they're going to defend a village, but then all of a sudden they're on the offensive.
Yeah. Where are these guys going? You know, who is going to be on the end of those blades? It's a bizarre concept.
I mean, when Johnny May was a cartoon version of Johnny May was a bullet train speeding around Tokyo, I wasn't asking these same questions, to be honest. So maybe I'm just
it's
a
sinister,
hypocrite.
Isn't it? Because like, you know, you fast forward that an hour or so when they arrive to the village, and you know they're setting fires to curtains in order to
women being dragged off into huts.
It's just not. It's not good. It's not good. Men of fighting age getting slaughtered. So I don't know. I don't imagine there's many of those community coaches sitting around thinking, oh, that was worth the money for me to lose my job.
So mixed views, I guess, on that one.
Yeah. But yeah, very well produced all the same.
The production is exceptional. The music was brilliant. I really thoroughly enjoyed the production values.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if I've watched it with music on.
It's good. It is genuinely a good thing to watch, but just confusing.
Yeah, well, okay. The game, let's talk about the game.
Yes.
So, I kind of alluded to it at the start of the podcast, but a little bit underwhelming, mostly because of the size of the two packs. I know size isn't everything, yada, 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 but Japan showed up to this game with 2 second rows. Both are shorter than me, in Wimpy Van der Waltz and more. And I just think, like, how can you play professional rugby with two second rows? That's small.
But their lineup was good.
Yeah, well, it wasn't bad.
Their lineup was good. Their scrum struggled a little bit when they were tiring before Japan changed their props. But other than that, their set piece worked pretty well.
Yeah, and they also repelled two Russian lineouts right at the start, which I thought was quite impressive. Thought if the Russians are going to get anywhere, I mean, you've got lads in the Russian pack like Val Morozov, who I can tell you right now is one of the biggest humans alive. He's listed at 112 kilograms. He is not 112 kilograms. I've been up to 112 kilograms, and I've never ever been anything like Val Morozov. Okay. Then you've got lads like Andrei Ostrakov, who again I've been lucky enough
to see. He is a big boy as
he's
well.
Bloody like Andrei Ostrakov will look at 2 6-foot-1 guys and look at that as a tasty hors d'oeuvre. Right, so actually the challenge Russia presented was far greater than I ever thought possible, and those two driving lineouts early doors actually showed, you know, Japan to be a relatively decent outfit, and I think that's what we're going to see them as a very competent team, but not anywhere near good enough to cause Ireland or Scotland any issues.
Do you think?
I'm relieved that they played Russia in the opening game, because they made so many errors, and if they make that many errors against a good team, they are going to get slaughtered.
Well, good.
There were a lot of nerves in that Japan team. I think the weight of expectation was heavy on them. I mean, 2 charged down kicks and the initial kickoff. Well, no, it wasn't the initial kickoff. It was Tupu, who was underneath a box kick in the first 2 minutes and didn't actually get anywhere, didn't touch the ball. The ball bounced 2 yards in front of him.
That's bad. I mean, that's really bad.
They did settle into the game much better, and you could see their conditioning. You could see how much fitter they were. But it wasn't a vintage Japan game. But Russia did well. Russia's defensive shape... Sorry, not Spain's defensive shape, was far better than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in World Cup history. That's actually what I thought.
I did like your prediction?
Well, look, our friends at Betfair, it was Japan with a handicap of 40. So, yeah. I mean, fair play to not Spain. They did really, really well. It was a performance to be genuinely proud of.
You've both hinted at it. Do you think Japan can worry Scotland or Ireland? They play Ireland next and Scotland last.
Not even slightly.
They cannot trouble Ireland because Ireland play a game which doesn't allow high risk rugby. It doesn't allow errors, and they're just going to squeeze the life out of Japan. They have got a chance against Scotland because Scotland will play into their hands a little bit. Although I think Scotland will actually just tighten up their ship a little bit and play box clever against Japan and shut out that risk.
Kind of agree with everything that Tim just said.
So, based on this performance, yes, I think I'm still optimistic that I've seen enough from previous games of Japan that they could worry. Probably, I do agree. Probably not Ireland, Tim, but I think they could spark something with Scotland, particularly given, I mean, both teams, it's their final game, but if Scotland pick up a couple of key injuries, then Japan could do something there. I wouldn't like to rule it out
yet. The performance for me of Japan would have to be 50% better, at least 50% better. Now, whether they have that in them or not, that will sort of depend. And if, you know, maybe it could be competitive. It'd have to be Scotland on an off day, Japan on an absolutely mega day. And that's the only way this is going to happen. It's going to be more interesting to see if they can beat Samoa.
But as it is, Japan go to top of the group. Mm-hmm. And importantly, they did get...
Well, they've got more points than anyone else in the competition.
top of the overall standings right now.
Yeah.
But importantly, they did get four tries. So they get a bonus point.
I was about to ask that. Are bonus points in play?
They are in play.
That is important.
Yes. So that
that is important.
If teams are tied, it's on overall points, it's on the head-to-head.
Yes. And so there was quite a good video or an article explaining that you could have three teams in a pool like this if Japan beat Scotland, Scotland beat Ireland, and Ireland beat Japan. So in that little round robin, they all beat each other. They could all technically end up on the same amount of points with a head-to-head that's all equal as well, a three-way head-to-head that's all equal.
What happens then?
I think it's points four or tries. No. But there was this article, which was quite a good one, I can't remember where it was, actually painted a picture where in that final game, Japan conceding a try could move them up the...
Japan conceding a try.
So it's Japan are playing Scotland in the final game. Japan conceding a try could see them qualify.
Because I understand that. Because, of course, it's something to do with... Oh, God, I do understand, but I'm not going to explain it.
I don't want to try and explain it now because I only read the article briefly a while ago.
They go above one team on a head-to-head, but it would drop them below another on a... Oh, I don't care. Oh, yeah. No. It's probably not going to happen.
It's so unlikely.
The Samoa Japan is going to be a tasty game.
Yeah, agreed. Now, I've got a question for you. What kind of person in a professional rugby outfit would deliberately concede a try?
If it meant you were going through...
Well,
wait.
And on that... Robert Howley. That's what I can say. Robert Howley. Rob Howley. Rob Howley. Wow. Well, I guess if you're new to the sport, and there's every chance that you've listened to this podcast for the first time ever because you are new to the sport and there's a World Cup on, and you're probably wondering why I keep repeating the name Rob Howley. Well, Rob Howley, the Welsh attack coach, has been sent home this week because, well, he's been gambling, allegedly.
There's allegations of some... that he had been placing bets.
Yes.
On rugby games.
Yeah, this is... I think it's fair to say that this is bad.
This is bad more than anything. This, if the allegations are true, this is unbelievably stupid.
Yeah.
Unbelievably stupid.
I mean, I'm trying to think of more stupid things. I can't think of anything more stupid. I mean, the man has got one of the handful of dream jobs, not in rugby, but in sport, maybe. You know, once you've got an international rugby gig, it's a pretty amazing place to be. And he's blown it. And he's blown his reputation. He's blown his job. I mean, it's just an epic disaster. I think the only people that aren't going to be terribly hurt would probably be Wales, who've replaced him with someone, you know, who I think is better.
Well, it's interesting from two sides, actually, the reaction from Wales. There were some suggestions that the timing of this could be conspiratorial on Twitter, in the cesspit that is Twitter. I'm not going to say where they came from, but I saw a few tweets.
Well, I don't understand that. Can you flesh that out for me? Because I don't understand why. What's the conspiracy? They want Stephen Jones in?
No. The timing would be bad for the Wales camp. Doing it the timing just before a World Cup is suspicious. That someone is trying to disrupt Wales.
But
actually, I think if they are trying to disrupt Wales, this is the worst way of disrupting Wales, because me personally would prefer to have Stephen Jones.
Yeah, I would.
And Wales won a Grand Slam when half their players didn't know if they had jobs or not. They were trying to merge two biggest regions. So actually, the disruption and the turmoil, if anything, could strengthen the resolve of the Welsh team.
Exactly. And what is Wales all about? Well, it's about misery. I mean, the country's about misery, their domestic rugby's about misery, and the only thing which they cling on to, and which is why they play so hard, is to play for the national team, because everything else is miserable.
And you can say that if someone's a first-time listener. You can say that because you are...
I'm from North Wales.
North Wales.
I know about these things. Basically, removing their coach should make them a little bit more miserable, and shows them also that, you know, this career is fragile. So play hard, or you'll be sent home like Rob Howley.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if either of you have seen the press conference with Martin William and Warren Gatland.
I have not.
It's quite an interesting. I thought Martin Phillips.
Yes,
Martin Phillips handled himself very well and spoke very well regarding what he could deal with on this. But one of the points that I think he made on that was, so all of the players and coaches are well aware of Regulation 6, World Rugby Regulation 6, which is anti-corruption and betting. Yeah. The point where they have to do frequent online tests to prove that they know the content of what it says in Regulation 6.
Oh my God.
There are high profile cases. I can't think of any in rugby union actually, but in rugby league, there was the Sean Long, Martin Gleeson.
Yes, there was. They were betting on themselves to win, weren't they?
No.
Or was it games they weren't part of?
So it was, this is in 2004 when they knew, so Saints had a really tough run-in. St. Helens Rugby League had a really tough run of fixtures. They knew they were going to be rested for a game, I think it was against Bradford, and so they put several thousand pounds on that Saints would lose. Saints got hammered by 50 points because they played a second team.
So allegedly, as reported by the Times, it was the betting company that grassed him up.
So that's what Martin Williams said. So they had... there was an initial request for information from
Martin
a betting
Phillips.
Company. Martin Phillips. Sorry, I keep saying Martin Williams, not the former flanker. Martin Phillips. There was an initial kind of request for information, and then the betting company there, I can't remember the term of it, but they have a team.
They do.
Who investigates this kind of action.
I was speaking to a man today. I won't mention his name, but I was speaking to a man today who actually writes guidance and ethics and safeguarding for this sort of thing. So, yeah, that's exactly what they do. Now, I'm not being... You know, I don't think if I was a high-profile international coach, I'd bet in my own name.
Well, you definitely shouldn't do if you're betting on your own sport.
Yeah, I mean, if they're giving you training, because the thing about training, awareness training, is it's not really awareness. It's not so much the awareness of what you shouldn't do. It's training on how to get round it in a lot of ways. So he mustn't have paid any attention to what they were saying.
Yeah, none at all. But then the Regulation 6, it talks about connected people. So you can't get
your wife to do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't get family members or direct connections, and it's no one involved in the rugby club can do anything like this. So even down to physios, down to effectively like kit men or anyone who could be
privy to information that the general public would not. Yes,
correct.
Agree. It's like in radio they've sharpened up all this as well. It's all the same, very stringent, and it's very, because in the past loads of people that I know that have worked in radio for a long time.
Oh, like when you got those new trainers.
have been caught giving away the star prize was a holiday to Ibiza, and he gave it giving the prize to his mates. and got himself on the trip as well.
I would so do that. What's the point in having power if you can't use it?
You just can't understand. You can't anymore. So you have to random. So when there's a winner picked now, you have to prove that it is randomly selected.
Yeah,
and there's no human involvement. But it used to be the case where
phone up now and I'll give you the answers.
You could pick a winner. So, it doesn't matter. Never mind.
For the top. Do you want to just put a marker there for that?
Yeah, mark that up.
Yeah, nothing. Just to be clear, I personally have never, but I have.
But a connected person. Forget it. It doesn't matter, does it? Yeah. So anyway, there is also a text message doing the rounds, which I am certain is false.
Yeah,
but it's worth saying because there's so many funny connotations. And one of the things is he won money and laundered it through his CAF. Now, it is certainly not true that this has happened, or I doubt it is. But I just love the idea of someone walking into a CAF in South Wales and ordering £6,000 worth of sandwiches.
Have you never seen Breaking Bad?
With the £8,000 worth of soup, please. Yeah. You don't want bowls, you want it in monetary value. Not a problem, sir.
Well, do you know what? Because we've established that if the allegations are true, he is monumentally stupid. Someone who would do that, if the allegations are true, would also be stupid enough to think that laundering money just means putting it in a dishwasher.
Yes, that is true. The thing about Rob Howley as well is he's kind of famous for not having teams that score many points. So, I mean, I hope he wasn't trying too hard for Wales to be first try scorer. And if he was, you know, who doesn't try and get their team to be first try scorer?
Yeah.
That would be the thing.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, the odds of that bet have shortened now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's a conundrum. I mean, this really does make me think. Wales are a low-scoring team. So if he was betting for the other side to score first, I mean, against Wales, that's a pretty solid bet.
Apart from in the Ireland game in the Six Nations this year.
Yeah.
But that was, they scored early in that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of has the knock-on effect, doesn't it? If you're not particularly good at... kind of like blind people, right? So people that are blind have got phenomenal hearing. They're often piano tuners. You know, you put them on hot air balloons, and they've got an amazing sense of when the balloon's going up or down. All the other senses sharpen up. Sort of like Wales. Their attack has been so poor for so long, their fitness has gone through the roof, and now their defence is excellent. So in a way, Rob Howley might have done them a favour. And now you bring Stephen Jones in, watch out.
Be interesting to see.
He might yet be a hero then, Rob Howley, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's clever.
Potentially, yes.
I mean, the other thing as well, which has been going around on Twitter, is he has a problem. You know, this shouldn't be judged as a bad man. I know that lots of journalists have written about it, because I guess, you know, a lot of people know him in the sport. He's been around for a long time, and by all accounts, he seems like quite a nice guy.
And he was a legend of a player.
Hell of a player. So I don't really know where I really stand on that, other than to say, you know, lots of things are addictive. Money's addictive. You know, all sorts of things are addictive.
Gambling is addictive. I've known people with gambling problems.
I kind of know people with, you know, all sorts of other addictions. Gaming's addictive.
Lots of things are addictive. It doesn't mean it's... we should trivialise it.
Mm.
But I still feel like... So, definitely not trivialising it, and it is a problem. Gambling addictions are serious problems. But there is... Like, if I just can't help but get my head round. Yeah. Don't bet on rugby. You know that you are going to lose your job.
Yes, that's exactly right, Phil.
Go to the slot machines or bet on the horses or the dogs or football. That's where I am.
You've just helped me clarify my mind here. I'm exactly with you. There are lots of things to bet on. So to say, oh, he's got a problem with gambling, he might do if I look into his accounts and it's all on horses. I mean, I can sympathise with that. I'm not sure I can sympathise with him that much when potentially he is putting at risk the hard work of these young men who put their bodies on the line.
Yeah.
And that's what I can't get over.
Yes.
Hmm.
Right.
Let's hope Wales go out in the pool stages and then we'll get the outcome of that gambling situation a bit sooner, won't we?
We're looking forward to an update on this, truth be told.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
How many games tomorrow?
There's one or two.
Fire away.
Well, by the time people listen to this podcast, they may have already happened.
Okay. Well, that's the fun of it. That's the fun of it.
There is a good chance that you'll be listening to us totally incorrectly predict these next three games. But we're going to do it anyway.
Let's keep it brief anyway, then.
So, we have got... What time does the first game kick off?
5 a.m. I'll be up.
5.45.
Thank God I'm not going to wake up at 5 a.m. then.
What, you don't want to get the full build-up in? Come on.
Oof. 5.45, we've got Australia hosting Australia against Fiji.
This is a game I thought was pretty much a foregone conclusion in my mind until I looked at the Fiji team, and now I have changed my mind completely. This could be an epic.
I mean, that Fiji team is...
Look at the names!
...is just...
I mean, I know they had names last year, but this is a different beast.
It is a serious, serious Fiji team. I still...
That back line outside of 9 and 10, which is the problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, 9 and 10, it's particularly 9. This time 4 years ago, we were saying was actually the strength.
Yeah.
So it's not as if, you know, I mean... I take it back, because it's not the same line.
It's not Matawalu,
who's actually...
No, he's on the bench.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what that lad's like. But, you know, people like Nakarawa, Yato, Mata. I mean, these are serious, serious players.
Ballers.
Yeah.
Absolute ballers.
These are the type of...
Murimurivalu and Radrada and Bottia. Power.
Yeah, Radrada, Bottia...
Tuasova,
right, was described to me by Matt Gitto as one of the best wingers he has ever seen. He said he's hands down the best Fijian player that he's ever played with. That is some claim.
A compliment.
Yeah. going back to Yato, Bottia and Nakarawa, Bill Mata, these are sort of guys, right, which chairman... will remortgage their multi-million-pound mansions to go and sign. I mean, these are cornerstone players of major European clubs.
Yeah,
you know, I think we could be in for a bit of a shock here.
Now, for all the stardust, do you think they will have the set piece dominance and the cohesiveness? Because when they played Japan, I know I've mentioned this before, but when they played Japan, the Japanese team had sufficient cohesion and defensive strategy to shut them down in offence, and then Japan were good enough to exploit them out wide.
Was it a similar team to this? That's what I'd ask.
It was not that dissimilar. There was
power.
Yeah, it was maybe not quite as strong, but there were still guys like Nakarawa, Tuasova, Radrada were in there. Bottia Tatu, I'm sure, was in there.
Yeah, so there are a few things I would say about that. Number one, Japan have been...
Can I just suggest that we don't say a few things? Because this game is, like, kicking off in six, 7 hours.
That is a very good point, Tim, because everything we're going to say is going to be wrong.
I just can't help it. Here's what I'm going to say. They've not been together as long as everyone else. And doesn't matter how good you are, some things you can't defend. And the offloading and the sheer skills that they bring to the table. If they get it right, ask Wales from, 2000, whenever it was?
Seven.
Yeah, I mean, it can go horribly wrong. So, you know, Australia, still heavy favourites, but...
Australia are a team. They've been two World Cup finals. They've won two other World Cup finals in 91 and 99. And they're a competition team. They'll do the business.
Yeah, and they have some key players that may or may not start.
It's interesting that they've copied England's Eddie Jones's kamikaze kid strategy of starting two sevens, and they've got these young lads.
Copying England?
Yeah, this Hooper and this Pocock, some might say Pooper, starting at six and seven.
So weirdly, they've done it a different way this time, haven't they?
What are we going to call Underhill and Curry though? What are we going to call, like, Cunderhill?
Cunderhill's fine.
No, that.
I like that.
The kamikaze kids works for me.
Cunderhill. Yeah. Hurry?
No. Kamikaze kids.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Let's move on.
Oh, okay. I mean, I could talk about this game for a little longer, but let's not. Because
we'll get to talk about it. Yeah, we'll talk about it on Sunday after it's happened.
Okay, well, this is my favourite game of the day, I'd say, coming up now.
Game number two.
My France.
At 8:15. Now, I mean, these are three brilliant games on Saturday
morning. This is the one for me. This is the one. And it needs to pan out in a certain way. France need to win. Simple as that.
So I actually think France might be okay if they lose, because it might shake them into gear, like their loss to Tonga in 2011 shook them into gear, and they almost won the whole bloody thing.
I'm the other way with them. So here's how I see it, okay?
France briefly.
France need to win this.
Yeah.
And if they win it, they will build momentum and they'll get better and better and better. And it will also make Argentina really get under pressure to beat England. England then get beaten by Argentina and run into the buzzsaw, which is France, and England go out. So that's how it's going.
So
I think this is the most likely upset of the opening weekend, is Argentina to sneak a win against France.
Would that be an upset? Are Argentina not favourites?
No. In the rankings, and I think the bookies have France. In my mind, I would agree. I think that this is the most likely upset, albeit the odds will be much closer. I actually think that Argentina are going to sneak this.
I really don't. There is one real problem I have, though. Real problem.
Go on.
France aren't very big. Simple as that. What I love about France is how bloody massive they are. Did they nearly top 1,000 kilograms?
Vakatawa's taking that massive 12 roll.
It's interesting that, because I think of him as a winger who'd been converted to 13, but not as a 12.
No. And Gael Pico can play 12. I've seen it in real life.
Yeah.
France's back row is not big. Arthur Iritira is not big. I mean, he's tall, sure, but he's not big.
Yeah, yeah. He's athletic.
Varmahina's the only genuine French monster in there.
Well, Slimani's not enormous. Girardot's not enormous.
Yeah. And I wonder if the French plan is to, God forbid, play rugby.
I think it might be. I think it might be. But when I look at their back line, I think there's precocious talent, no question. But I don't remember seeing Vakatawa playing for France at 12, and it's quite a risky time to bust out a new...
When did they decide between...
All the warm-up games when he didn't play 12.
Yeah.
And now.
Or how about in February, when they thought, let's just get the biggest men on the planet. Let's assemble the world's biggest squad. Like, do you know what? No, let's really shrink it down. All the back row were like 6'1". All of them.
Gregory Aldrit, is a very good player.
Do you rate him?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
He is a very good player. And he scores. He's only, I think he's 22, 23.
Yeah, I mean,
he is class.
He looks like a guy who does a lot of damage against weaker teams.
You said he's a flat track bully.
I don't know. He's just, you know, when you got Louis Picamore, I mean, he must obviously be bringing something quite substantial to the table. I've seen him play at Sale, actually, against in La Rochelle. And he was really, really good.
But pick a winner. Pick a winner of this game.
France.
Argentina.
I am thinking Argentina might sneak it.
Hope not.
Yeah. And then finally, who do you think is going to take? I've changed my mind on this. I think New Zealand are going to win this game now.
Yeah. Oh, you're insane, Tim Cocker.
So the key thing that they have done, Beauden Barrett starts at 15. Richie Moonga starts at 10. No Ben Smith.
Nope.
Well, he's on the bench.
But I mean, Ben Smith is probably one of the best fullbacks, right, on planet Earth.
And particularly for rock-solid stability.
Yep.
When you've got Pfaff's unpredictable kicks and Andre Pollard's predictable but sensational kicking, and Willy LaRue pulling the strings, I'm totally shocked that they have gone for this.
Yeah.
I love George Bridge. I think George Bridge is absolutely class. Seve Reese gets a lot of the plaudits, but George Bridge is just such a, to use one of your phrases, Tim, he's such a Rolls Royce of a player. He just glides around the pitch.
So, yeah, right. So, the All Blacks have in one foul swoop taken away one of the world's best 15s, left him outside of the 15.
Yeah.
They've also moved their most talented playmaker, the world's most talented playmaker, away from 10.
Yeah.
And they missed it, the world's best forward.
Yeah. And I'm looking at his side, I'm thinking, Sam Whitelock, Scott Barrett, yeah, they're good. Yeah, they're really good. But they're not Eben Etzebeth and Franco Mostock. So they've got rid of their absolute world. I mean, you put Beauden Barrett and Ben Smith in a team, and you can say you've got a better fullback and a better 10 than anyone else in the world.
Yes, true.
But you can't say that with this.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I still think New Zealand, I've just got maybe too much faith in New Zealand. I think they're going to do it.
No chance. Not happening.
And they have again copied Eddie Jones and gone for two open sides in the back row.
Yeah, and such Eddie Jones fans. Just copy in England.
A great mind, Eddie Jones. I do genuinely wonder if this is because of the heat, and you simply cannot have too many tired bodies. You need people who will be off the floor in 1 second, 2 seconds.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you how this is going to go down. Mostar, Etzebeth, Khaleesi, Peter Steph DeToy, what a player. Dwayne Vermeulen, they're going to manhandle the opposite numbers. They are going to manhandle them. This reminds me almost like the matchup before the Lions, when the Lions are just absolutely huge, huge men who are not going to be as experienced together as it. Malcolm Mox, kits off. These guys are animals. I'm going to go South Africa by two scores.
There you go.
Can't wait to find out.
I can't wait to find out.
So chances are the next time we'll be podding will be Sunday.
Yep.
So shall we run through?
I don't know if I can wait till Sunday. Genuinely don't know.
Well, I'm in Liverpool tomorrow night, so I'm out of action tomorrow.
I can do one with you tomorrow night, Jay.
Do you want to do that? Shall we leave the next three predictions?
Yeah, and let's. Oh my God!
Well, we just do one word predictions, and okay, we could maybe flesh that out a little bit.
France Orlo, Orgy Snayman.
So the Sunday's games, Italy versus Namibia, is going to be a fairly handy win for Italy. The next two games, well, England versus Tonga is going to be a fairly handy win for England. Interestingly, Eddie Jones has picked two open sides. Don't know if we mentioned it yet.
No, yeah, we haven't.
And it does, that to me, does look like the strongest singing team, other than possibly Mark Wilson to come in on the bench and possibly Thokonosinga.
Thokonosinga's not 100% fit, so they haven't.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the one thing, probably the thing that caught my eye most about the England team, because I was expecting the two sevens, I was expecting Ford Farrell, it is the bench of Slade and Joseph, which suggests to me that on Thursday, England play against the USA, a game that you guys will be at.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we will.
We'll get an idea of what Eddie Jones is thinking in relation to fly half, because has he got Henry Slade on the bench as fly half cover?
Yeah, well, he's got Henry Slade, ironically, on the bench to cover everything else but 13.
I mean, Joseph would go.
And Joseph would be wing and 13.
Wing, 13, Slade, everything else.
10, 12, 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10, yeah, yeah, 10, 12, yeah.
And Ludlam on the bench is interesting as well, but Mark Wilson has got a bit of a knock, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. And the obvious other player to come in would be Mako.
So is it two games on Sunday?
No, because then you've got the big game on Sunday, which is Ireland versus Scotland.
Yes!
I am looking forward to that.
In a word.
Scotland.
Ireland.
Ireland.
Come on, Scotland.
I'm surprised that they've not picked Conan in the back row, but they've got Hendo in there for your carrying.
Conan doesn't play as well for Ireland as he does for Leinster.
Yeah,
so no one plays as well for Ireland as they do for Leinster. That's the problem.
He needs time, though. He needs to bed in, and then the bit that if I was Finn Russell and Greg Laidlaw and Stuart Hogg, the person I would be targeting would be Jordan Lahma. Jordan Lahma is exceptionally talented, but he has not done it at the highest level, apart from, in my mind, there was one amazing break against Italy. Was it this year or last year? This year. Other than that, he has looked a little bit out of place at the highest level.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this about Jordan Lahma. He is amazingly talented. Be careful what you wish for. Kicking it to Jason Robinson when he first moved to 15 might have sounded like a great idea. Put him into some high balls.
Yeah.
Didn't work out so well.
True.
So, there you go.
Okay,
so tell me this, boys. We might do one tomorrow. We should do one tomorrow. It's a World Cup. That's our job. We'll do one on Sunday. And on Sunday, we can talk about the Premiership Cup, right?
If your beloved Sail Sharks win...
No, you not can my have, beloved. We'll talk about 20, every team equally.
You can have 20 to 30 seconds on it.
No. Yeah.
Perfect.
No. Perfect. Right.
Yeah, 20, 30 seconds. All right, I'll accept that.
So there we are. There we go. The first day of the World Cup in the bag.
I forgot to mention one of my favourite moments of the day was listening to the post-match press chat with the Russian captain. I did not expect an Irish accent.
Is he Irish?
Yeah,
Vasilev Artemyev. He went to school in Blackrock College, Ireland.
Good lad. Oh, amazing.
He was at Northampton for a few years.
He's genuinely Russian as well.
Yeah.
Oh, the fullback.
Yeah, fullback.
Yeah, wing. I did know that.
There you go.
Done. First day of the World Cup.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
In the bag. You can follow us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, me at Jay Beardmore, Tim Cocker at Cocker.
Tell your mates and just spread the word. Get the podcast out there.
Oh, yeah. And also, you know, all this effort that we put in for you, it's not free. So go and visit Akuma Shops. Go and get your wonderful Egg Chasers rugby jersey, or maybe you've got a little bit of excess growth. Maybe you want to go to our pals at Cornerstone and get yourself a razor. You just go to cornerstone.com/eggchasers. Boom. Keep this little project that we've got going. Keep it going. And also make sure that me and Phil can afford Negronis and rooftop bars in Japan. Because that's what it's all about, really. So until tomorrow, when we come back to you with more amazing rugby knowledge, from me, Tim and Phil, goodbye.
Bye.
Top work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.